comments that we have an odd religion that would have us love our enemies and hate our mother and father. Okay. But he says it's a kind of spiritual shock therapy. It's meant to wake us from complacency. There's an exaggerated Jewish style, and that's what he uses. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, he cannot be my disciple. God must be at the center. Like they say, if I love my spouse more than God, then I don't love my spouse as much as I would love them if I loved God first, my spouse second, and my children third, and the world after that. Okay. If God is not first, it's only a natural love. If God is first, it's a supernatural love. And so that priority of God, not to let any inordinate attachment to even our own family distract us from doing God's will, to compromise truth in order to placate a relationship, a family tie. Okay. It's a kind of a radical dispossession, because sometimes even people and relationships can become like possessions, attachments to us. Okay. But and the gospel goes on to tell how seriously the spiritual life is, how seriously we must take the spiritual life. He says, as seriously as a king going to war, as serious as a contractor building a house. It's got to be planned out carefully. And then Father Barron also uses some examples. The curé of ours at the end of his life was asked what great wisdom he had had learned from so many years in the priesthood. And his response was, people are much sadder than they appear. Here in confession, 16 hours a day, he knew that people were much sadder than they seem. Sin is the only sorrow, and confession is the remedy. It takes away sin. People think sometimes, I'll be happy when, and we can fill in the blank, when my ego is satisfied, when I get this pleasure, when I get this job, when we move somewhere else. Okay, but he says that right now you have everything you need to be happy right in front of you. It's, in the Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, kind of a classic about Auschwitz and some prisoners there. He says that there were happy people at Auschwitz, even though they were deprived of everything that the world tells them should make them happy. Auschwitz was hell on earth, but some people were happy. And one example he uses was St. Edith Stein. She was taken out of the Carmelite convent by the Nazis, along with her sister, and they were taken and killed in Auschwitz a few days afterward. But witnesses on the train from that convent to Auschwitz said that she had great peace. She ministered to the others on that journey, the journey to that death camp. It was a cattle car toward hell, going toward hell. But she had a peace and a joy even in the midst of that terrible suffering. This is the story of a young man who goes to a monk and says that I seek happiness, and he puts his hand out as wanting to grasp at it. But the truth in the spiritual life is that we don't take happiness. Happiness is a gift. Every grace is a gift. The word grace means gift. So it's not something we take. It's something we receive. Even Holy Communion, we never take the host. We never take grace. We can only receive it more or less unworthily. Okay. So the young man puts his hand out, seeking to grasp this happiness, and the monk tells him, slaps his hand down. Okay, because it's not something we can grasp, it's only something we can receive. It's a gift from God. And the more radically dispossessed we are of possessions, relationships, to have that perspective of hating all attachments, like St. John on the Cross says, whether we're tied to the earth by a heavy chain or a tiny thread, we cannot fly to God. Okay. All the attachments, whether heavy or slight, prevent us from being completely free to fly to God. It's like Father Barron says, all you need for your happiness is right in front of you. Okay? We just take our spiritual endeavors seriously, even if it's being on a cattle car to a death camp.